straight out of NDA. We've got the Huawei Ascend Mate 2, the first review. Plus, if you can't afford a GoPro, how about a FoPro and a pen that sports 4 gigabytes? What else can you do with it? We'll find out next. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by iFixit. You can fix it. And iFixit makes it easy with a free step-by-step repair guide for over 10,000 products. High-quality replacement parts and all the tools you need, too. For $10 off your purchase of $50 or more, go to iFixit.com/twit and enter the code Before You Buy at checkout.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Before You Buy, the Twit product review show, where we get the most interesting new products on the market. Sometimes great, sometimes not so good. We give them to our staff, let them try them out in a real-world situation, and then they report back to you. Coming up, our first review. Jason Howell has had this for a while, I think. The Huawei Ascend Mate 2, the first U.S. entry from the massive Chinese phone manufacturer. He, of course, is the host of All About Android, so this is right up his alley. Let's find out what Jason thinks of the Ascend Mate 2.
Hey, what's up? I'm Jason Howell, and I am here with the Huawei Ascend Mate 2 4G LTE. Now, Huawei is a Chinese manufacturer of hardware devices, and in the States, they kind of, I hesitate to say they have a bad rap, but they're more known for low to mid-range devices, and carriers haven't really kind of taken hold, you know, brought them into the fold as they have with other manufacturers like HTC and Samsung that we're used to seeing. But Huawei really wants to break through in the US, and this is the Ascend Mate 2, which is kind of their attempt to do so. You're not going to find it on a carrier, actually. You're going to find it through their site if you go to gethuawei.com. They have pre-orders through June 22nd, and if you pre-order within that time, you actually get a free case and a $50 prepaid SIM card along with the device. You can tell it's a pretty large device, so let's take a look at the specs real quick. It has a 6.1-inch IPS LCD display showing 720p video. It has a quad-core 1.6 gigahertz Snapdragon 400 processor. So it's not an 800. It's a little bit, you know, they had to kind of peel back the specs a little bit to get the really competitive price, which I'll talk about in a second. With 2 gigs of RAM and 16 gigs of internal storage, if you want to increase that, you can. There's a micro SD card slot in the back. Right here, you can see you've got your slot as well as your SIM card slot. This battery, this is a big differentiator for this phone. It's a 3,900 milliamp hour battery. It's non-removable. Although you could probably get it off if you had a tiny little piece of screwdriver, you know, tiny little screwdriver to pry it off. But at 3,900 milliamp hours, you're probably not going to need to remove this battery. And if you're really impressed with the battery capability, you can actually plug in an optional accessory into the bottom and plug it into another phone that needs a battery charge. And this device will actually charge that phone's battery. Really super cool stuff. It has an LTE antenna for GSM CDMA Plus here in the States. So you're gonna be able to run it on T-Mobile, on Sprint. You're not gonna be able to run this on the Verizon network. It's running 4.3 Jelly Bean. That is not KitKat, and they don't know when it's going to get upgraded to KitKat, so it's probably something to keep in mind. It has a 13 megapixel rear-facing camera, and then on the front you have a 5 megapixel front-facing camera, which is definitely a step up from most front-facing cameras. And just as a general kind of bonus, it does support 802.11ac Wi-Fi, so that's pretty cool. Now, it's sold unlocked, and I mentioned the price earlier being a competitive price. It's $299 unlocked. That's unsubsidized. So you go to their site, you're dropping $299 for this device, this phablet, essentially. And that's an incredibly low cost for this kind of hardware. The design, I'm pretty happy with the design, to be honest. It's plastic, make no qualms about it. So if you don't like plastic, you might want to reconsider. But it's not a flimsy style of plastic. It actually feels very firm in the hand. It's not, you know, not quite as solid as, say, HTC devices, but definitely feels better than a lot of the Samsung devices out there. A little bit heavy. heavy, but at a 6.1-inch device, you're probably going to get a little bit of extra weight there. And overall, I was pretty happy with the design of this. The back casing prevents it from slipping out of your hand very easily, so little touches there. Like I said, it's a 720p display. It would be nice on such a large screen for it to be 1080p. But I would say, having said that, it really didn't bother me that much. Looking close, you can kind of detect the pixels, and maybe our eyes are getting used to not seeing those, so maybe it'll stand out. But I think it's kind of a trade-off, right? You get the lower cost, you still get a large screen, and it's still HD. It's just not the full 1080p. I thought it was a good trade-off. The camera. So camera performance, this is definitely one of the differentiators here. They built in a lot of kind of extra features here. One is the Groofy, which if you're on the front-facing mode, there we go. Oh, this is pretty cool. So when you're doing a front-facing picture, it gives you this little preview up there, right? This is for your selfie. So if I'm looking at myself, let's see here. If I'm looking at myself and I'm taking a picture, I look up there, the camera's right there. So if I'm looking up at that preview to frame myself and then the picture's taken, the image actually looks like I'm looking at the camera. Thought that was a neat little touch. They have little software features in the camera along those lines. There's also, like I said, the Groofy, which essentially is like a wide-angle selfie. It's Groofy because, you know, you can fit a bunch of people in. So you take your picture, which I'll do right now, and then it asks you to move it to the side where it takes another picture and then another one. It's like a modified panorama, but for taking extra wide-shot selfies, I suppose. And there we go, super widescreen selfie. Other features about the camera, let's see here. We've got, your standard ones, panorama, HDR, sound and shot, which is you take a picture and then add 10 seconds worth of audio to it, which I wouldn't find incredibly helpful. Overall, 13 megapixels is great, and I'd say the quality of the shots in daytime were actually pretty great. Nice level of detail. If I really zoom into the pixels, I felt like I saw a lot more than I see with other camera phones. But ultimately, low light performance, maybe not the best in the world. You know, you have to figure, again, they're cutting corners in some way. The camera's kind of mid-range as far as that's concerned. Now let's talk a little bit about the performance. Now, obviously, it's running the Snapdragon 400, so that's definitely a corner that they cut a little bit to bring the price down. You don't really notice it in the UI. The UI is pretty fluid, as well as a lot of the apps, web browsing, things like that, I didn't have any noticeable degradation in. Where I did notice a little bit of a difference was in the running of games, particularly Riptide GP2. There were points of the game where I'd hit a turbo and you'd expect those polygons to kind of increase in order to render everything a little bit faster, and it would kind of stutter and get a little bit choppy. So I think you start to see kind of the downside of the fact that it's running a lower system on a chip like the Snapdragon 400. Now, as for the software, it's called Emotion UI and kind of mimics the iOS layout in that there is no app drawer, right? It's all done horizontally. I find it to be a little messy, so you have to be a little organized when you install apps and moving them and creating folders and, you know, organizing them so that it isn't just a wall of all of these apps and you're always hunting and pecking to find them. So keep that in mind. I wasn't a big fan of that part of the UI. They have a few different home screen configurations. So if you are a first-time smartphone owner and you want a more simple interface, you can select simple, and it kind of breaks it down to the main categories to make it easier for you to kind of transition to the smartphone world and also make things a lot larger. The battery is so good in this device that you might never really need to touch those. I made it through an entire weekend without charging the device. That's how good the battery is. It literally charged for almost 3 days straight. Settings to determine which apps can use Wi-Fi and mobile data. So you can actually say, Netflix, never use it if I'm on mobile antenna, but yes, use it on a Wi-Fi connection. That's pretty cool and good for saving battery. And then other kind of flares like Wow, which is Windows on Windows. It's like a floating browser or a floating window on top of all of your other apps, so that you can multitask better. All right, so let's get to the pros of the Huawei Ascend Mate to 4G LTE. First of all, the battery, it's top-notch. I've never had a phone with as good a battery stock as this one has. So if battery is your highest priority, this is the phone to get. Value, $300, almost $300 for all of this, the screen real estate and battery, I think is a great price. LTE, it's super fast connectivity, and the design. I actually quite like the design, even though it is a little large. I'm a large person, so it works for me. And the cons, performance kind of broke down in certain places, but that's to be expected with the Snapdragon 400. The Emotion UI is not my favorite overlay in the world. You could always just install a third-party launcher on there to get rid of a lot of those complaints. And then launching with Jelly Bean, and Huawei doesn't really have a specific idea as far as when KitKat is going to roll out, and who knows, any versions beyond that. So do keep that in mind. You're going to be back out of date right out of the gate. Now, what's my recommendation for the Huawei Ascend Mate 2 4G LTE? I recommend it as a buy. It's pretty hard to maximize value here. $299 for a lot of features that people find really important. Yes, it is big. It's a phablet. But because of that, you get a huge battery on the back. And if your priority is making it through a single day without ever having to think about being worried even about plugging it in to charge it up, then this is the device for you, let alone multiple days. So it's really, really impressive. That is it for my review. I'm Jason Howell, and thank you for watching my review of the Huawei Ascend Mate 2 4G LTE.
Thank you, Jason. Jason Howell, the host of All About Android, every Tuesday around about 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Twit Network. I have been a big fan for a long time of the GoPro camera. Boy, they've got great marketing anyway. You see them every extreme sports event, from people jumping out of the air to diving under the sea. But what if you can't afford a GoPro? How about this? It looks a lot like a GoPro. It's called the Expo High-Res Action Cam. And we gave one to our GoPro aficionado, Brian Burnett, our technical director, to take it for a ride on his motorcycle. Let's see what happened.
Brian Burnett from Before You Buy, and I'm taking a look at some action cams here, and one is not quite like the others. Here we have, for example, the Hero 3, the Hero 2, and the Pile Expo action cam. So at first look at the Expo, it's a little bit bulkier than your average GoPro. It has the power button on the side. And on the underside of the camera is a little mount for hooking up to a tripod. And on the far left side is a micro USB, a micro SD card up to 32 gigabytes, and a HDMI out. A word of warning for anyone trying to put in the SD card, it can be kind of a tight fit, so you should get someone with fingernails to try that. Now, obviously, the biggest advantage this action cam has over something like a GoPro is an LCD screen integrated. It does make it more bulky, but for positioning the camera, it helps a lot. Also, navigating the menu is a lot easier having a full LCD screen on the back. It does come with an app for iOS or Android, but I could not for the life of me get it to work. But with this LCD screen, you don't really need to connect it to your phone anyway. On the front of the camera, underneath the panel, is a 1050 milliamp battery, which gave me about an hour and a half worth of recording time. And side by side with the Hero 3, you can see it's a tad bulkier, mostly because it does have the LCD screen included, and it is much similar in size to the Hero 2. The Expo comes with a couple of sticky mounts where you have to apply the stickers yourself, a handlebar mount with some screw hardwares, a Wi-Fi remote for remotely starting and stopping recordings, and the hardware does look very similar to what GoPro offers, but is slightly different, so you won't be able to use any of your existing GoPro hardware with this camera. So now that we've introduced the hardware and mounts, let's take it out for a spin.
I'm at a secret location where we will be testing this, because obviously if you're going to be doing an action cam, you got to be doing some action. So why don't you come on a ride with me and we'll see how this camera does.
Now right off the bat, you can tell the audio isn't that great on the camera, but the video does work pretty well. If you're going to be testing an action camera, do it in full gear. So the Pile Expo will record at 1080, 960, 720, or 480. At 1080, it'll be able to do 30 frames. At 720, it can do 60 frames. So pretty similar to the GoPro Hero 2 or the Hero 3 Silver Edition. The Pile also sports a 20 megapixel image sensor, which is larger than anything GoPro offers, as the GoPro Hero Black has a 12 megapixel camera. Now, that doesn't equate to a better image than the GoPro Black. I would say the Black still has the advantage there, but where the 20 megapixel sensor comes in handy is low light situations, like riding through shadows and things like that. It's on par with the more expensive GoPro cameras. But the actual video is a little bit more grainy, and I had the white balance set to auto, and it definitely looks a lot more saturated than the GoPro cameras. As for pros and cons, first and foremost, the LCD screen helps the Pile a lot. It does add to its girth, but when navigating the menu and setting up shots, the LCD screen is super helpful. Another pro is the features. The Pile comes with a motion sensing feature, where you can have it set to start recording whenever it senses motion. And in the settings, you can dial in your exposure meeting, ISO settings, or light frequency options. And another pro is, with the 20 megapixel sensor, the low light video is on par with the Black Edition GoPro cameras. As for cons, the first one is lack of mounting hardware. There's not a lot of options for where you can mount them, and you have to apply stickers yourself to the mounting hardware that you want to use. Also, the phone app is pretty much worthless, and it's also negated because it does come with an LCD screen, so there's not much reason to want to use the phone anyway. And the last con is the size. It's big, it's bulky, and it feels a lot heavier than the GoPros. So is the Pile Expo Action Cam a buy, try, or don't buy? If you're looking for something with an LCD screen, then I'd give it a buy. But if you're looking for the best bang for your buck, the GoPro Silver Edition is still probably that, so I'd have to give it a try for most people. But in the end, the Pile is a solid action cam that is trying to mimic the GoPro, but doesn't quite reach the same heights. This has been Brian Burnett from Before You Buy. Thanks for watching.
So there you have it. I'm actually surprised, but I have to say, it's not cheaper than a GoPro, is it, Brian? I mean, it's close to the same price.
It's pretty close, $250. So yeah, it's a little bit cheaper, but the video was good, but not as good as the high-end GoPro.
But it is kind of nice. Now, not for when you're riding your dirt bike. That's completely useless. But there are occasions when having an LCD on the back could be useful.
The most handy thing is setting up the shot.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, right, if you wanted to check with your GoPro, you'd have to log into your phone and use that as a viewfinder.
Right. All right. So, a decent try for the Expo high-res action cam. And boy, sure, even did you try the housing on a GoPro to see if it fits?
It's just far enough off that it doesn't quite work. And the screws and the actual mounting hardware is just slightly off that you can't. So, great, thanks.
How funny. It looks, but I guess GoPro can't really copyright or trademark this kind of look and feel.
It's trying so hard to look like
really
a GoPro.
Does. I don't think it will confuse anybody anyway. They'll know the difference. Thank you, Brian Burnett. I appreciate it. Brian is a great technical director, editor here in the Twit Brick House studios, as is Chad Johnson. He is one of our great producers, also the host of OMG Craft and our newest show, Reddit Up. We thought, boy, you know, this TV, It's $400 at Walmart. It's 50 inches. Could the Scepter stand up to the Chad test? Let's find out.
Hello, my name is Chad. I'm with Twit and Before You Buy, and today I'm reviewing the Scepter 50-inch LCD television. This is LED backlit. It comes in at a full 1080 resolution. The main selling point is that this only cost $399 at Walmart. So $400 and you get a 50-inch television. Some of the features that it has is it has three HDMI ports. One of them is MHL compliant. It also has a USB port, a VGA port, an aux audio in, a SPDIF audio in, and a TV tuner, which is just your normal aux Ajax connector. This is a 60 hertz refresh rate, so none of that fancy 120 or 240 hertz refresh rate. It does have a VESA mount on the back, or the connections for a VESA mount on the back, and it also has internal speakers. They're not all that amazing. And that's about it. I mean, there's not much more. It's a television that's a 60 hertz and does full 1080p. So other than that, it's really, really cheap. And I mean really cheap. How cheap? Well, you can use it almost anywhere. At your desk. In the car. And finally, the place I know you've all been thinking, the bathroom. So let's get into the pros and cons of the Scepter 50-inch television. On the pros, it is cheap. Also, the MHL port, the MHL HDMI port is a nice feature. The fact that it has a USB port as well, basically all the ports are a nice feature. On the cons, the base was difficult and pretty flimsy once installed. The installing, it required 5 different screws, a separate O-ring, and it was a ton of pain. You can see that it's just a little bit wobbly. It does tilt back and forth, and it will stop before it gets too far. That's a nice feature, but all in all, this base was way wobbly, as you can see, by just a little bit of pressure on the side. And the last con is that the blacks were a little bit washed out. We did some tests where we were in a very dark room, and blacks weren't quite nice. They were pretty gray, in fact. Buy, try, don't buy for the Scepter 50-inch television. I'm going to give this a try. You know who you are if you want this television. You're not going to be a discerning viewer of pure great content. You're looking for an inexpensive television. Sure, go ahead and pick it up. Should I recommend this to my grandma? Maybe not. But hey, for $400, you can have a 50-inch television almost anywhere in your house. Give it to the kids, put it in the playroom, and have a good time with it. Although, I can't really recommend it for everyone. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Chad with Twit, and Before You Buy, see you next time.
Thank you, Chad. It makes sense. We buy a lot of really bad, cheap TVs for the studio because it doesn't need to be perfect. It's going to be, just another set. And nowadays, even a bad set, not a great set like that, is pretty good. A lot better than a lot of the old TVs. All right, we're going to take a look at that pen in just a second. Mike Elgin, the host of TNT, is here, our news director. But first, I want to show you this. I know Father's Day is over. Maybe you gave Dad a card or a tie. It's not too late to make it all better with this incredible iFixit toolkit. First, let me tell you what iFixit is. It is a free online repair manual for just about everything. They've got step-by-step repairs for over 10,000 devices from like your smartphone, your tablet, your game console, to home appliances and clothing. Yes, they can fix clothing, even your bicycle. But, of course, the key, and they offer the parts on iFixit.com, so you can get the parts there. But the key on anything like that is having the right tools. Burke will tell you that. He's our in-house iFixit guy. And this iFixit toolkit is the greatest thing ever. And if you've got a geek, a handy person in your life who would love a great gift, $64.95. This is the 54-bit driver kit. You get this beautiful. I mean, this is engineered. It just makes you feel so good just to hold it. I love this idea. This is the extender, which lets you go around corners, reach into hard-to-reach places where you couldn't normally get a screwdriver or a bit. And they've got 54 bits here, everything from the new Pentalobe that Apple uses on its iPhones and iMacs to a triangle bit. I got to find that one. The triangle bit is used for fixing Happy Meal toys. It's used by McDonald's. Of course, Phillips, and I call them plus and dash, Phillips and standard screwdriver bits. This is crazy. This is the triangle bit used by McDonald's for Happy Meal toys. You can fix anything with this Torx, Tri-Wing, Pentalobe, Phillips, of course, small and large. The swivel top precision driver with the flexible extension for hard to reach screws. If you're ever fixing anything in a stereo, for instance, that is so cool to have this and you can reach around. I just love it. This is such a nice gift. And that's just the beginning, because also you get, that's not all. There's more. You get spudgers. You get suckers. You get all sorts of little devices. It looks like you'd be doing dental work here. But in fact, this is all for fixing things. Just really nice. And if you really are a geek, you should put this special ruler with the clip in your pocket and wear it around all day. And people will know that you are an iFixit person. So $64.95 lifetime warranty. Check out iFixit.com for all those repair manuals. And by the way, if you go to iFixit.com/twit, besides the guides there, you'll also be able to save $10 on any purchase worth $50 or more. That includes this incredible iFixit kit. It means you're going to get it for $54.95. But you have to use the offer code before you buy. We love you, iFixit. I really seriously do. I just think one of the greatest sites. Kyle Weems and company do such a good job. We're so glad to give them a big plug. iFixit.com. Use the offer code before you buy to save $10 on any purchase over $50. All right, Mike Elgin is here, our news director.
Yes.
And you've been terrorizing the staff.
Yes.
With your pen.
That's right. That's right. It's painful, I know. But
what is
sometimes
that?
You have to do this. So this is a pen.
Yeah.
And as you said, it has 4 gigabytes of storage, but it's also a camera, a still camera, and a video camera. So, you know, it's a spy camera.
What basically. The hell? Now, you've left the labels on, but presumably you'd take those off.
You take those off because you want to be a sneaky person.
Is it an actual pen as well?
It's a pen, and it actually comes with multiple pen points that you can put in there, so different colors and so on.
So, and it's not much thicker than a regular pen. In fact, it's about the size of my Mont Blanc.
Yeah, there are ordinary pens that have this. Now, you can see that little light there. That means that it's on. It All flashes, right. So it's not super stealthy. But then to take a picture, I'm going to take a picture of Burke behind the camera there. I just press the button.
Oh, you'd never know that. You'd never know that. Yeah.
So, of course, you want to clip that into your pocket, and you can be running video. So you can sit there and record video. Now, this is about a $40 product. You can find it sometimes on maybe Tiger Direct or something like that for like $29 or something like that.
This is very, very Q.
It's very Q. I think that maybe 10 years ago, this would have been really bleeding edge. Nowadays, we'll get to the actual details of this as a consumer electronics gadget. But essentially, let me just show you this one, how this works. It's a USB, so you unscrew it.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical.
Yeah.
And so you 4 gigs of memory. That's a lot
that's
of
right.
memory.
You plug it in there.
Oh, that's
and
hysterical.
And there's actually a little tiny switch in there on this side to toggle between video and still.
Ah.
And, you know, it's pretty straightforward. Just plug it into your laptop or computer or whatever, and you see the media there. It comes with a little mini CD with software and drivers and things like that, which you completely don't need.
It's standard.
It's standard
USB.
You just get the media. Ultimately, the problem with this device is multiple things. One is that it's creepy to have a spy camera to go around.
And you say this as a glass hole.
That's right.
At least they know if you're wearing Google Glass.
They know. They can see the picture when you take it in
right.
your eye. So,
right.
Yeah, so that's Google Glass is a terrible device for being sneaky. This is actually a pretty sneaky device. And for that reason, it's probably not a good idea to use it.
Is
I'm
it
sure
legal?
There are,
I bet there are rules.
There's audio recording as well. And audio recording, there are some laws around audio recording.
Right.
But it's like any other sort of camera. It's like a smartphone camera. You could be a sneaky, creepy spy with your smartphone,
sure.
too. But, you know, it's an etiquette issue more than anything else and a courtesy issue. And so that's one reason to not buy this.
Because it clearly is a stealth. I mean, you get a better camera if you don't mind if it looks like a
this
camera.
Is the worst camera I've ever seen.
Is it bad? Do you have any video we can see?
Yeah, we do. We have it. This is video of Burke.
Hi, Mike. I don't know why you're pointing a camera at me. It's not a pen.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's just a pen.
You're about to detonate a bomb.
If it actually had that functionality, that would be a huge improvement.
The frame rate's pretty low.
It's low. I mean, this is a pretty well-lit space, and it's just blurry. This is some pictures that I took. They're all bad. All the pictures I've taken with
this camera. But this would hold up in court. I mean...
when you're being convicted of spying on people,
yeah,
you
right.
Yeah, this would be perfect for that. But as you can see, they're low quality pictures. And by the way, it's not a very good pen either. It's kind of a,
wait a minute.
It's kind of a cheap ballpoint
pen. Which do you want?
That's right. Needless to say, this is a don't buy.
Okay.
It's cheap.
Even at $30, if you get the 30, get it that cheap.
No.
Because it's wrong.
It's wrong. It's cheap. It's low quality. If you want to take pictures, get a good camera.
Right.
Use your smartphone. You know you have a smartphone.
Right.
And if you want a nice pen, get a nice pen. If you want to spy on people, then, you know, I'm not going to recommend any way for you to do that. So right. This is a don't buy.
It's, but if you did want to spy on people, this would work.
You know, don't spy on people.
Don't do it.
No.
If you did want to do
it. No,
all right. All right. I'll take your word for it. That's a do not buy.
Do not buy.
So what is the name? It's kind of generic,
it's called
right?
The Swan PenCam 4GB.
But that's Swan who sells it. I bet that's you 100 right. companies sell it under different names.
Lots and lots of companies. Right. And this is not a new product. This has been around a couple of years, actually. And there are lots of pens just like this that have been around. The whole category is kind of cheesy and sleazy and don't recommend it.
There it is. S-W-A-N-N. The Swan PenCam. Thank you, Mike Elgin. Mike is our news director. In fact, he's going to be back tomorrow. We're going to be covering Amazon announcement at about 10:30 Pacific.
That's going to be exciting. 10:30.
We think it's a phone, but we don't know for sure.
I can tell
you one thing. As soon as we can get it, we'll have a review unit and put it on before
That's
you
right.
buy. Thank
That's
you,
right.
Mike. All right, thank we'll you. See you tomorrow morning.
All right.
Thanks also to Brian Burnett, to Chad Johnson, and to Jason Howell, our other reviewers. Thanks to you for watching. Each and every one of these reviews is available exclusively as that review on our YouTube channel so that you can share it with friends and family, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. You can get the whole show at twit.tv/BYB or wherever you get your podcasts. If you have a product you'd like us to review, email us, byb@twit.tv. Thanks for joining us. Remember, you got to watch before you buy. See you next time.